think about a really well done remake of this game where you're the leader of a country, you're managing the country, and you're going off on adventures, and both are important, and you can choose to do one or the other to do whatever is fun. It would be mind-blowingly fun.
So a different game? Yes, no. A different game would be fun. You're right. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
No, Lan.
And this is episode... Nope. This is retro recap number 9.
Nope. Number 9.
Wow.
Number 9.
What are we going to do at 10?
Talk about 20 or so games.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So we've done 8 of these. This is the 9th one and Kenny's here to tell you what it is.
Yeah, if you haven't joined us for our retro recap yet, first, feel guilt about that choice. You should have been on this train a long time ago. No, retro recap's actually a great time to join in with the New Game Plus bandwagon because it's a chance for us to briefly look back at the last 20-ish episodes and just review... kind of in retrospect, what we thought about the episode, memories of if our you know opinions of the game have changed, all of those kinds of things. And so it's a fun way to onboard if you have missed some episodes and want to get caught up to current, or just to look back and enjoy what we've been doing in that lens. Because of that, I will say spoiler alerts.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. We will reference a lot of things that happen on episodes that have already happened. So if you haven't listened to old episodes yet and want to listen to them with fresh ears and don't want to know where we landed on opinions of the game, this is probably not the episode for you until you're caught up.
Retro recaps are just an opportunity for us to rehash unresolved arguments.
It's just to argue again about what the last...
Just to remind you guys why you're so wrong about everything.
So if you haven't listened to the past 20 episodes, pause, go and do that. And then within the next... I mean, after you're done in like an hour...
Whoa, that happened.
Okay. Listen to it on 20 times speed.
20 times?
Then you can come back and listen to this episode. All right. Can we just pat ourselves on the back, though? Because we have always said retro recaps are 20 episodes or so, giving us wiggle room because sometimes it doesn't line up like that. Well, and then most of the times because we forget that we haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah, sometimes retro, or so means closer to 40.
Retro recap 8 was closer to 40. This is exactly 20.
Well, see, I don't want to pat myself on the back because now it's a thing for us to not be responsible and do 20. And now we're being responsible, so it's lame.
Got you. Yeah. Got you. All right. As we start this, just need to declare that the first episode in this recap is was recorded about 4 months ago at this point. So at the start of this rotation, there was no coronavirus that we knew of. Wow. There was no Final Fantasy VII remake to the masses.
Oh, wow. That puts 20 episodes in perspective. I don't remember the world before all that.
There was no Animal Crossing New Horizon.
Whoa, that one got me.
You've already played extensively and stopped most of you.
Yeah.
Including you.
After hours.
And there was no new PC for me, no double monitor for me, and no new PC for you, Nolan.
I don't want to talk about it. Okay. That is very weird. That doesn't seem right. I forgot what life was like.
I know.
Simpler
it's
time.
Weird. So keep that into perspective as we go into this. Before we do, want to give you a few stats like I have in the past. I'm not going to make either of you guess what they are. I'm just going to kind of say straight up. Yeah, but then it's just awkward pauses and y'all being wrong. So
that's true.
The last 20 episodes, here's a few statistics. Out of those 20, 11 received NGP status. 9 did not.
Sounds right.
The oldest game we played. I will ask for a year there. We'll do that.
Yeah.
The oldest, just give me a year. You don't have to tell me the game. What year do you
87?
Think
87? I have okay. no idea.
Kenny?
I don't know.
See? This is why we don't do it.
I've got to think. It's 20 episodes. I feel like normally we have some sneaky old 80s games, but I don't know if I remember any like arcade titles. I'm going to say early 90s.
That's not early a 90s. Year.
Because he can't answer the questions.
We did an AMA with this.
Earliest fool. 90s is 1990.
Okay, let's say that. Early 90s could mean like 4 years.
Kenny is correct.
94 is not early
90s. Kenny is correct.
He's right after that. Okay, but it was a
after all of that. Unfortunately,
he's not. Right.
So it was Crystalis, April of 1990. But we also played Ninja Crusaders and James Pond. That was also 1990. But that is interesting because I think for the past few retro recaps, they've been 80s games. Yeah. Maybe even a late 70s for a few retro recaps ago.
This is the freshest set of games.
Freshest set of games. The newest, most recent released.
Ooh.
What year?
2003.
All right. And then, Kenny, give me a year number.
I'm going to just jump Nolan's answer and say 2004.
Okay. So at least you gave an answer.
He's right.
No!
Yeah, he is.
Never guessing right. again. This is
July 2004 was Final Fantasy II Dawn of Souls. Okay. So it's the most recent game we played on the podcast and most recent game we played on the podcast.
Dumb.
The longest episode was Metroid Prime. It came in just over an hour and 18 seconds, I believe. Is that correct? So that was the longest one. And then the shortest episode was Rocket Robot on Wheels, which was only 45 minutes and 47 seconds.
That's quick for us.
I didn't actually go through and figure out which game was on which console because so many of them were on multiple consoles. But we did play an inordinate amount of handheld titles within the last 20.
More this set than I think any other set.
Yeah, so we played at least 5 on some iteration of Game Boy, whether it's Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color.
Dang.
And so that was interesting. You know what? We don't play many or any Game Gear title or any other handheld that is not Game Boy related.
I thought we played Game Gear 1.
I mean, that's the only other option, though, you know?
Is that?
Yeah.
Is that?
I mean, what else besides Nintendo handhelds are we going to play?
You got your Tamagotchis.
Not a video game.
Someone put... Okay.
We're starting off with opinions.
It's not.
It's a game that you play on a screen.
We will talk about, it's not a game, it's real life. You're taking care of a pet.
Okay, if you want to put Nolan on blast about how wrong he is about Tamagotchi, join us in Discord.
Oh,
I do.
Gotcha.
I feel very strongly. Yeah,
everyone loves me, Kenny.
Opinions.
With those statistics clarified, we're going to jump right in, as Kenny used to say, but has stopped because we forced him to, into our very first episode conversation.
Okay, so the first game in this retro recap was episode number 222. It's a very sacred number. Rocket Robot on Wheels, which you just heard that in Dustin's intro there, and you said it was the...
It was the shortest episode.
So that's a fun fact. I don't know what that means, but it did come out in 1990 for the 64.
Well, it meant that it was a 64 Nintendo 64 title where the titular character is a robot on wheel.
Yeah, like they can't name him Pete or something, like anything.
And it was a Ubisoft game, which is weird, first of all, because that's Assassin's Creed and
other stuff.
Far Cry? Do they have a part in Far Cry? I don't know.
We should know that. We just played it. I don't know. But that game was not bad.
All I remember is the roller coaster on one stage.
That's the one with the weird...
Building that roller coaster was crazy.
That's the one with the weird story, right? Where you're like put in charge of the lab...
And the raccoon
steals
the plans or tickets. It's absurd.
When the antagonist has more of a like recognizable name and shtick than the main character.
Yeah, super weird quests, collecting robot parts.
I gave it a game plus. It was fun.
You liked it Kenny also gave it New Game Plus, which meant that it got New Game Plus. I didn't. I did agree with y'all that it was a non-oppressive collectathon. Because it was a collectathon. Collectathon in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean bad, although a lot of times for us, for the three of us, we don't like some that are just like collect for no reason. This one had fun and uniqueness, and on each stage you were collecting and doing different things.
Yeah. It was a pretty strong 3D platformer. It reminded me of some of the like better ones on that console, you know.
It was, like, and some of the Banjo. Little mini games that you got to do as quests were fun. What sticks out to me though 4 months later was the storytelling. The characters,
just
and
silly.
The cutscenes, and it was fun. And that's the thing that I remember the most about it. Episode 223 was a mouthful of a title. Heroes of Might and Magic 3, The Restoration of Erathia.
Urethra.
Not to get it confused with the 30 other Might and Heroes of Might and Magic 3s. Like,
I mean, no,
there's other Might and Magic 3s.
Yeah.
Right. There's not another Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
But
there's
but
lots
it's double
of Might
stupid.
And Magic games.
You just.
No, it's.
That's the
it's
problem.
Two things. There's Heroes games and there's just Might and Magic games.
Oh,
and they're totally
yeah.
different genres.
Right.
This is a PC title that Nolan was completely wrong about because a classic. Real-time-ish, I guess it's possible, classic strategy game where you're mustering armies and upgrading heroes and fighting to win. Isn't that what you do in every game?
You just described Mario, kind of.
Yeah, and you made it sound so not appealing.
So boring, I know.
You just said it's a game where you play a game to win. That's pretty much what you said.
It was the most generic description I've ever given.
Here's what I'll say about this game. I'm not going to give it props because it's supposed to be a classic. And I think many people give it props because it's,
Nolan's such a hipster sometimes.
No, can I we think say it's hipster this, to like it.
Listen, can we say this? It is not like a lot of the strategy games that Kenny likes. It is in some ways, but it's not in all the ways. And so you're not reading books upon books upon books to play this one. This one is
no,
a lot
super
more
accessible.
Explore, yes. You've got this overworld environment that you're moving around, and it's time-based, turn-based, like you're doing it in cycles of like a day, right? And you're moving various units around. You can go back to like strongholds that you've conquered, you go down into...
I'm going to say, you say overworld, but there's also an underworld.
There is an overworld and an underworld, yes. And then when you get into a battle, you go into a different screen where you're like stacking units upon one another. Now, while it is more accessible, it's still got a learning curve. I'm not saying it doesn't have a learning curve here.
It's one of those genres that like I honestly think, and it's not just my personal opinion. I think many people have trouble getting back into that genre because this one's not a readathon like some of the other ones. You have to read a book, but even though it's not, it's still like you're micromanaging so many things, and the tutorials were not solid back then, as solid as they should be. And I just felt that week. I wasn't having it.
At the end of the episode, it was clear where Kenny stood. It was clear where Nolan stood. And so you both made a case to me to try to get me on your side. I ended up swinging with Kenny, actually, and saying that this
as
is
you
one
so
of those.
Often do.
I don't know about that, but it is one that is accessible and that is fun. It's all of these, though, I would rather just watch Kenny play, like stream
for
and
sure
play.
I'd watch that.
I would love to have you watch me play this game because I would love to play
this
game.
Then please do.
Yeah, then do it.
Let's set What's up your a play date.
It's not a play date. Just say I'm going live.
It's absolutely a play date.
Oh, God.
It's a play date. We'll set it up. Episode 224 was Ninja Crusaders. It was a platformer for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and it was the one where your ninjas are a ninja, but then you become an animal.
You turn into a giant dragon.
That's a rare occurrence.
Ninja-style animals.
No. There is no such thing as ninja-styled animals.
Yes, there is.
There is not.
100%. No,
during the episode, you Google searched ninja-styled animal and did not have anything come up that was ninja-styled.
You did not do proper Googling.
Yeah, your Google foo is off.
Y'all did it. Here's a unique thing, maybe one of the rarest things in the sense of this podcast. All three of us beat the game this week.
Yeah.
Rarely happens.
That's rare. Well, because it's a short game.
But still.
But it's also... Wait, we also all three did not give it our vote.
Correct.
That might be the only time that will ever happen where we all three beat it and we all three say
no. I know, it's
no.
weird. It's like it forces you to beat it because it's like, well, okay, like maybe... Because the concept, I remember being like, the concept is dope. And then you start playing it and you're like, this feels bad. And it was like one of those clunky style old titles. I couldn't... I don't know.
And then when you figure out how to actually play it optimally, it's collect the best weapon, which should turn you into the cool, super awesome dragon, but then never actually transform into the cool, super awesome dragon.
It's like a one-time use.
Get the neatest thing, but then never use the coolest feature of it is optimal play, and that just feels bad.
My dogs are ninja-style animals.
Interesting.
Maybe one of them.
I do remember it being one of those, going off of what you were saying, Nolan, just it's one of those old NES titles that to get good and to beat it, you have to memorize the stage and memorize where each enemy comes out because, like, it's really up close. The enemies spawn everywhere. You've got to just – it's the level memorization thing that is –
Yeah.
That is required in a lot of games, but when that's the mechanic, like, or when that's the only way to like memorize where each enemy spawns, is that that's not fun.
Yeah. I'll agree with Nolan though. Concept of this game super on point. Implementation, was just fell way short.
Episode 225 was a Patreon pool submitted game for the NES called Crystallis, which was a game that I had heard of, but I had never really looked into or known about, but I felt like I should have, and it ended up being excellent. It was that game where you have the elemental sword that the game kind of revolves around that weapon and modifying that weapon, and the story is also involved in that mechanic. So it was actually quite unique for the NES.
Yeah, so
hey, you could charge that sword, couldn't you? And have a different attack.
It had different elemental attacks and abilities.
Yes, yeah. And you
it interacted with the environment too.
Yep, and we played a few of those. The ARPGs, the action RPGs, where that are kind of more like Zelda in the sense of. But here you use the sword in the overworld environment also to navigate and to open up doors and passages. Really cool.
Oh, so only thing I remember about this game is the crazy fast move speed. Like, you don't walk around anywhere. You like full on just run.
Run so fast, but it was so nice. We all liked that. I remember thinking then, and still think so now, reflecting back on it, it was like a Fallout crossover with Zelda. Zelda with the action RPG type stuff, but then Fallout, because like the whole premise is you're a boy that's waking up out of cryogenic stasis, and there has been a war, everything's different and everything's changed, and now you're going out without knowing who you are or what your history is. And so part of the game is discovering that as you're powering up. It's not powering up the sword. I don't think you have Crystallis at the beginning. You're getting different swords that you then power up.
It takes a while. I didn't end up beating that game because I want to say it's kind of a big time sink, but I think
it
would have been so good to finish it all the way through. It's a great game. We all gave it New Game Plus.
Yeah, everybody liked it.
I remember, I don't know if it was during the week we were recording this episode, but it went up on Switch. Like, it's now on Switch, so you can easily get it.
Ooh, that sounds kind of dope. I might have to
mess with that. Honestly, I think they were, you know, who Miyamoto was listening to our,
all,
yeah, yeah.
All the game people, the important ones, the make their decisions people. Based on our episodes.
We were universal on our New Game Plus approval. This game for sure got it from us.
The following week, we played Bejeweled.
Which is a video game.
Which is a video game that you try and win.
You're doing really good with descriptions.
Yeah,
today.
My descriptions are on point. This is a puzzle video game from early 2000s, PC title. That's one of those make the items on your screen match each other type games. Think sort of early, really like the progenitor of Candy Crush style gameplay.
Did you say the name yet? Words? Yeah, did
I
you?
I said Bejeweled okay. early on. Did I not? Just did checking. I describe it this whole time and not say it was
just
Bejeweled?
Checking because.
But that being said, it is our first browser game that we played. We're 220 yeah. whatever episodes in, and we had never played a browser-specific video game.
Honestly, the king of that like era and genre.
Yes.
You know? Like, you have to pay respects.
If you were alive in 2001 and old enough to have memories.
Yeah.
And I guess not, like, completely poor. I don't know, like, had
wow.
technology in your life.
Wow.
I mean, true, though.
I mean, you're like, right. They're not playing Bejeweled in, I don't
Third
even
world
know where.
Country.
You're about to name a whole country?
Look.
I'm just saying, like, it was big, like, pop culture big, not just gaming big. Like, everybody looking, and their mom was playing this game. Literally yeah. their mom.
And now only moms play it. Right. It's got an iconic look to it that you're just, like, you look at it and you're like, ah. Oh. Like, you just immediately are taken back to when you used to sink so many hours into it. And speaking of that, I feel like Dustin and Dear Baby played that game. Like, how much that week? So
we played
many
it a lot.
Hours?
We got it on our phones, and we yeah. played it in many different versions and styles. But the original didn't have all that, and Kenny was all frou-frou
yeah,
about that.
It makes no sense I'm that you spent that much time playing it, because this is a really bad game.
It's barely a video game, and it's not bad at all.
No, it's a very bad game. It's an important game in that it like
tell that to the
defines
moms of the world.
This genre.
I will.
But there are so many better versions, and this one had lacked so many quality of life features that there's just no reason to
you
go back and
didn't.
Play it unless you only have weird nostalgia.
He's
for
talking.
It.
He's talking. You didn't close RuneScape and played this version of Bejeweled in 2004, and it shows.
And it shows. We see that he was still on StarCraft. Wait, 2004. Yeah, he was still
he
on
was
StarCraft.
Doing something. Weird.
I've never stopped playing StarCraft.
Listen, I know you play. What do you play? Like
does.
Poker with it or something weird?
All kinds
it.
Of weird
chess.
Things.
Listen, I still think Bejeweled is better than Tetris. I don't care.
Oh no, you didn't. Okay, you're a liar. So
that's
bad.
That's the like, single
I was
worst
with
statement
you.
We've
I
made.
Do not care. Tetris is not that good. It's,
shut
it's,
up.
It's only a little bit better than
I
Dr.
Will punch
Mario.
You through this
that's
mic.
That's the
you,
most controversial thing that we've said
that
on
is.
This episode.
You didn't say that on the episode, did you?
I could have name-dropped every country and been less offensive earlier 5 minutes ago than you were just
five
now
minutes,
to every
of,
single country.
Is Djibouti a country?
Tabbouleh.
No, that's a food.
Oh.
Okay, so we get... So Nolan and I gave Bejeweled our vote for New
Easy.
Game Plus status. Kenny, although saying it's one of the best age games we've played, you said that, Kenny. Did not give it his vote for New
what
Game Plus status.
What are you doing?
It doesn't deserve it.
What, you like Tetris?
Don't quote me out
Stop.
Of context. People can go back and listen to the game. And yes, Tetris is a billion times better.
It is, but...
Episode 227 was Final Fantasy Adventurer. Adventure, not Adventurer. Final Fantasy Adventure,
right.
And specifically, it's not Final Fantasy.
Right, this is not a Final Fantasy game.
No,
this
not.
Is a Seiken Densetsu game, which makes total sense
so
from the
weird.
Title.
It's another ARPG, so it's in the same vein of whatever game, Crystalis. But this was a Game Boy game. We played it on the Game Boy, so sans color, and... it's another one where you have multiple different weapons and you use them in the overworld. Do you remember you had that like pickaxe that had a weird name? I don't remember. And like a chain at some point, and all of these different things that you had to use to break down doors or get across gaps. And it was on the Game Boy.
On the Game Boy. And it looked fantastic.
It was probably one of the best looking Game Boy games. And I'm honestly so glad I played it. Like, it, sure, it didn't feel Final Fantasy, because what Final Fantasy aspects did it have? Not many. Chocobos.
Not the fact that it's just like fantasy kids on an RPG adventure.
But there's no crystals, which are part of the Final Fantasy lore. There's no
The setup was kind of sick, where like you were a warrior fighting for that evil dude, and like that you get... Dude, that was so unexpected.
It wasn't well fleshed. Like, it was not very descriptive, true, right? It was the Dark Lord or the Dark One, and he came and pushed you off the waterfall.
Still kind
but
of
yeah,
epic.
You start. I remember you liking that, Nolan, because you start in the Dark One services, then you break out and are able to eventually
like
come
unique.
Back and get revenge.
I like unique, and that was. I couldn't believe it was on the Game Boy, man.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that shocked us the most, is just how good it looked considering what it was on. And also right up our alley in terms of series that it started and type of gameplay. It's no surprise in my mind that we all said everyone has to go back and play this game.
Yeah, all three of us. And I know this is kind of a small thing to be able to remember, but I just remember before fighting that first boss, I opened up my menu and realized that you could save literally anywhere.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
So ahead I was of his on time.
I saved on the ladder right before the boss fight. Just I was seeing if it was going to be the case, and then I died in the boss fight. Thought that I would start a little ways back, right? Or somewhere back. I started right there on the ladder.
Dude.
You can save literally anywhere, and it was so nice.
Why didn't people do that?
Of life.
Episode 228, Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon, Another Story. Need I say
we got
more?
So much hate for our opinions
Wait,
on this
why?
Episode.
Oh, because we didn't like
we didn't
it?
Get, we didn't get so much hate. No, we had one person stop listening and supporting us he thought that we were too good to be three grown men talking scientifically about Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon.
Yeah,
and I thought we did a pretty good job.
Apparently, if you don't like this game, we're misogynists or something.
Yeah, I think that's what his problem was. Like, it was like we were talking about it being, you know, targeted to a certain audience, like the fans of the show, and which it was, and then it became weird. So,
and
sorry.
While I do have strong hands, I promise none of us are misogynists. It is a JRPG for the Super Famicom. It's one that never made it over to us, unfortunately.
But why is it one of many, many Sailor Moon video games?
Do you remember there's like 30?
There's
I don't
so
remember how many
many.
I see.
Yeah, because it's just crazy popular. Like Sailor Moon is a really big deal. And so they gave the people what they wanted. And that's lots of Sailor Moon content. So I'm not surprised that there's a million of them at all.
I will say that I've never played a video game like this. And I mean that in many different ways.
Yeah.
some of the more obvious ones, but then some of the less obvious ones, if you haven't played the game, you have 10 playable characters.
That's
which is
overwhelming.
Crazy.
Which is awesome if you're a Sailor Moon fan, because I'm sure there's some games where you're like, man, I would have loved to play Sailor Uranus, but I'm stuck with Sailor Mercury.
Your favorite.
And in this one, you play all of them as they're going through, worried about saving the world, fighting old enemies from the series, and trying to fall in love, you know, make the boys fall in love with them.
Also, some really interesting actual just like gameplay mechanics with some like how you arrange your party and the setup of...
It's like Chrono Trigger.
Right, but like even more advanced, you can put yourself in all different sorts of formations, and then characters get significantly better stats or worse stats in really kinds of cool ways that make
confusing
this game...
Confusing ways. Let's
oh, yeah,
clear.
And it's not really communicated in game, so you have to like learn that somewhere else.
The show.
But it's kind of a cool concept.
Not from
the art
show.
Style was pretty solid. Not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, it looked great.
Yeah.
But the story was so dense. If you're if you don't know Sailor Moon, you're not gonna be able to track real well.
Right. All these games are fan service games. And
this
so
was
you,
a straight up fan service.
Absolutely.
Game,
and so if you're a Sailor Moon fan, like you're gonna love these games, especially this one that like goes back and lets you like fight other enemies again and whatever. But if you're not, there's just going to be some hurdles that in appeal just naturally because it caters so hard to the fan base.
Better or worse than Tetris?
Better.
We all three did not give it our vote for New Game Plus status this week. Not because it's Sailor Moon, but because it was too linear and because it was too convoluted and because although there are some good ideas there, they didn't execute them all the way there. You go and listen to the episode. We're not misogynists.
We're not masseuses. Right.
That's what it comes down to. Like us. Episode 229. We lost our minds over. I don't know. There's a joke here, and I didn't deliver.
You didn't
it.
Have you to, said
this
it.
Was this was Decap Attack, the game on Sega Genesis where you play as a headless mummy.
Yeah,
mummy with no head, where your head is the projectile.
He just leaves it at that.
It's weird.
It's a weird game.
The whole aesthetic and it like 91, right?
Oh,
I guess
fit,
that
yeah.
was. Do you remember this was a Japanese game? It was about a magical hat boy. And then they brought it over thinking, let's yeah. make it more relevant to them
America.
Because this anime magical hat won't connect. And so they probably pulled up like Nickelodeon at the time and it was All Real Monsters or
they
something
don't have
weird.
Magical hats in America. We're going to have to.
Yeah, don't try and justify this decision, Dustin.
They went with a weird mummy that has eyes on its torso and he's throwing a skull head that you can lose from time to time. So then you don't have a projectile. And then the stages were not only where you get from start to finish, but that on the third of each stage, you had to get an item, a specific item to leave the stage.
Yeah, my vote for New Game Plus didn't age well. I honestly, that week, I honestly did not think it was that bad. Like, I did find some redeeming qualities. Like, I had some fun with the simplistic mechanics. I thought, throwing your head's fine. The game's called Decap Attack. You were so offended at the punt, like, at the whole concept that you were just not going to give it.
All the different stages, the pieces of the island are all really, really bad body puns.
Yeah, but
they're terrible. And this is coming from us.
No, it's coming from you.
Who have really good
puns. We thrive on bad puns, and these were too much.
Kenny was actually good at this game. Go back and watch his first play on YouTube, and it was weird. I've never seen Kenny be good at a game, and then I was watching him just... I've seen him never be good at a platform game.
Okay, that's important clarification. I was about to pull out Age of Empires 2
right.
if we need
He's
help.
Really, Please. Still, I don't know if you're great at that, just Nolan and I were not great
True.
At that. And I would have been able to beat you, but y'all teamed up and are terrible people.
Did that
happen one time?
That's not how that worked.
I just lost because I'm bad.
So, but on YouTube... On our YouTube channel, Kenny does the first play this week, and he's remarkably good, and I was so confused.
I was actually surprised by that fact, too. Something about how the mechanics worked and the feel of it just, like, settled with me, and I kind of rocked that game.
Do you remember you hold the jump button and he kind of, like, float kicks before he, like, settles back down on the ground? Oh, just a weird, weird, weird
it's
title.
It's a weird one, yeah.
Nolan's the only one that gave it his vote that week, and he would take it back if he could.
Maybe, I don't know.
Episode 230
okay.
is what?
Don't.
It's German and
Great.
I'm good at it.
Why'd you
no,
go
you're
German?
Not.
Metroid Fusion, which is a Game Boy Advance Metroid title. Is it the first Metroid handheld title?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at y'all with your confidence.
No, it isn't. It
was developed and published by Nintendo, and if you recall, it's the more linear Metroid of the series, which also released the same, no, a day apart? A week
yeah,
apart?
Yeah, like really close.
Basically, they
Prime.
Released it with
Prime.
Metroid Prime.
For the GameCube. Yes.
Which we will talk about shortly, because... And it wasn't random.
Spoilers.
Well, no, it was, because this was not a Patreon pull. However, Metroid Prime was.
Yeah.
This one got pulled, and it was the story where it's like Alien, from the movie Alien, where you're on a derelict space station, and there is Sax. That's my only complaint. Well, I've got a few complaints. That was one of them, that they named the creature Sax. That's, like, come
S-A-X.
Up with something better.
Like, I never
and
call
that's
it
worse.
Sax.
Okay, SAX is worse.
It's not that bad. It's a code name.
For what? Samus Aran X. Samus Aramis. But this is a game that I beat in a day. The day we recorded the last episode, amazing. I played and beat this
game. I remember loving that. Because you said you posted a picture of the final screen. And I was like, wait, no way.
Yeah, I was shocked too.
I was thrilled because I absolutely love this game. I played my physical copy on my Game Boy Advance SP.
So much
because
fun.
I freaking love this game so much.
It really is an achievement to do it that quick, because this is not Ninja Crusaders. This is a much longer, full-on, you've got to do the normal Metroid progression of find all the things, unlock all the things. Again, a little less than some others because it leaned a little more
handheld.
Linear. Yeah.
And handheld.
And so handheld as well.
I think, if I recall, my time was like 4 hours and 32 minutes. Something
right,
sure.
That's still super impressive to do 4 hours and 32 minutes after we knew the game was our game.
Sure. And it wasn't a full clear, because in these games, you know, you can finish the game or you can get 100%.
All the missiles, all the health.
Missiles, items, power-ups, everything. My frustration with that, if you guys recall, is that since this is so linear, there are certain times in the story where the rest of the levels are locked to you. Mm-hmm. And so where my saves were did not allow me to go back and get the full clear that week, and I would have liked to do that.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I want to say in other Metroids too, though. I don't know.
It had much more story,
Adam.
Like outright story, because the computer and a little bit of voice acting, even it was just remarkable, and it looks stellar.
Yeah.
This is one of those that's like it looks and sounds impeccable.
Yeah, it's showing off the GBA for sure.
Yeah,
showing off the GBA
for sure. Episode 231. It was an Xbox and GameCube release called Cell Damage. It was also a game that was submitted by one of our lovely patrons for Patreon pool. Vehicular...
Was he...
What?
Yeah, was he lovely after this week? I mean...
I don't know.
Yeah, we still like him, even though he did this game to
us.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Obviously kidding. However, the game is trash. It's a vehicular combat game, which... In the past, those types of games have not been our favorite on this podcast. But this one was like cell shading graphics, but...
Which is a cool idea.
The concept is super fun.
It's a good idea, and games did the cell shading thing at the time. Like on GameCube, there were some, like, I guess Beautiful Joe, maybe, is an example. But it was not... Fun, guys. It's not fun to do.
It was way too chaotic.
Yeah, this one was just free for all, like nobody's business.
Chaos.
All types of different weapons, and everybody's dying constantly, and you never felt like you could not die. It was more about being so efficient at killing everybody else that you were like net positive gaining kills.
It's stressful.
On Smax, it wasn't kills. Smacks.
You're right. It's cartoons, smacks. So they didn't die.
No. See, they did cartoon, and they did very hard violence, though, with the cartoon.
Right.
So, like, you're definitely dying here. They're shooting people with machine guns.
Axed. All kinds of things.
Yeah, everything. But they're counting smacks. So, like, it's odd, because when you first come in, it's like first to 500 smacks. And
you're like, what?
You're thinking, like, I got to kill them 500 times. No, you just got to touch them. 500 times in different ways. It's weird. But here's the thing that we missed this week, Couch Co-op. I think it's a game that would be a lot more fun, maybe not New Game Plus status, but a lot more fun if you're sitting there playing with friends. Because it's a game that's insane, chaotic, and if you're sitting there with friends playing, that's fun. And that's silly.
Here's my problem with that.
What's
2001,
your problem?
I'm putting in Smash Brothers Couch Co-op, like party game. You know, I'm not going to play this with friends in the room. I'm going to play Mario Party. I'm going to play Smash Brothers. It's just such a stressful time. I couldn't see it working.
Well, it was one of those awkward times where it was a Patreon pool and we all three did not give it our vote for New Game Plus status. So
I regret
deal
nothing.
With it.
Episode 232 was Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City. This is a Super Nintendo Entertainment System title starring the titular Michael Jordan, who you may have heard of.
No.
He not only was a basketball player, not only was a golfer. Baseball player, not only was a golfer, not only was an underwear model, but was also a video game hero.
Yeah, he was. That's the biggest title of them all. This
It was developed and published by EA, which is weird, and Ocean in EU. This was the episode where we found out that Kenny might actually be the sportiest of us three, which was a weird realization.
He's a football player. Yeah,
but that's not saying much.
Well, at all. But like, I feel like I can, you know, run faster than you.
I can dunk on you.
No, you don't got ups.
I got ups, bro.
Who's the tallest? Kenny, are you taller than us?
Yeah.
I think Kenny's tallest.
What, 6'2"?
Six, no way.
Not quite. One-ish.
6'1"?
1 foot?
1 inch. I'm about an inch high.
This game was funny. Like, I always hate the stupid, like, hey, I'm famous. I'm a celebrity. Let's make a game out of it. Shaq.
Well, that's this.
If you'll remember, this is the opposite of Decap Attack, which I was wildly successful at when I first played. This one I was wildly unsuccessful at. I couldn't even beat the first level.
You gotta
there
dunk.
Was literally a key game
Kenny
mechanic
never dunked.
That was never explained in the game and that you don't naturally figure out at any point.
Kenny, look at me. And you do naturally. Nope, nope, nope. You do naturally figure out because look, Michael Jordan is the character.
The game.
He's got a basketball in his hand and there is a dunk station above him.
Bro, it's not a dunk station.
AKA what are they called? Net.
A net? No, it's much more than a net.
All
there's a backboard.
It just looks like it's part of the decoration for the level. You're platforming with him and you're throwing these basketballs, these magical basketballs that are sometimes on fire and sometimes extra gravity heavy. It makes no sense and I don't care that
dunk
I wasn't
station?
Good.
I couldn't think of the thing. Why? And I still don't know. What is it?
The whole contraption. And a net. Like,
no, the whole contraption. What is a word for the whole contraption?
The net. There's no.
It's a basketball.
It's not a contraption. I'm going to give you the three parts of it, and you tell me what it all is. Okay. It's a backboard, it's a rim, and it's a net. What is that thing?
A basketball hoop.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But, like, you call it a net, you call it a backboard, like, not a dunk station.
Not a is it not a dunk station?
Never called it a dunk station.
It's a dunk station. It is. Okay. Is this a Moonwalker reskin?
No.
Yes, because listen to me. In Michael Jackson Moonwalker, you're going and finding kids in closets. In this one, you're finding your teammates in closets.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's the same kind of setup, and it's really
Who
weird.
Who developed Moonwalker?
I don't know. There's no way it was EA. But do you remember how invested Michael Jackson was in Moonwalker?
Yeah, like he had to approve the animations and stuff.
Right. I think it's the opposite of that for this one. I don't think Michael Jordan knows this game exists. He uses his balls as weapons.
Of course.
And he's got like blue balls that are the rolling things that takes enemies out. He's got orange balls that are like on fire that he throws at enemies. They all have different powers that he uses to defeat all the enemies and rescue teammates. It's just weird.
It's
a weird game. It didn't need to be a platformer.
No. It didn't.
Nolan, you gave it your vote, but I think you did just because you thought it would be fun.
I did give it my vote?
I think so.
I don't know. The page says I didn't, but I feel like I did too. Maybe it's wrong.
I think you did. I think the page is wrong. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and listen. Someone let us know. It was also interesting, though. This was the 50th, episode where Garlisle had submitted commentary for every single one. So that was... It sucks that this had to be the game, but, you know... Thank you. Episode 223 is one of those bad games that
so
Kenny
bad.
Likes. So let's just move on.
Is this the one where you literally had to dedicate a week to learning one mechanic of the game?
It's D&D DLC for the PC.
Oh, spitting bars.
Yeah, no, it is D&D.
DLC for the PC.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't try to run.
I'm really bad at that.
The only thing that matters is that this was the episode that I told y'all about the game Crucible.
Oh my gosh, let's talk about that instead of Birthright.
I could have brought that up at the beginning. I forgot. Oh gosh, you remember when I was listing like things that were like hadn't happened yet when we started playing these episodes at the beginning? I should have said Crucible became Amazon released a game and then not released
and then unreleased it. In a 4 month span. That's bad.
In a 4 month span.
Yeah, that's remember how you know when we tried right. to convince you that that game was bad and you didn't believe us, and I tried to convince you that this game was good and you also didn't believe me. But reasons I love this game: it was a fun mashup of absolutely fun of world management strategy, kind of army style real-time strategy tactics combined with like a first person RPG style game, and it kind of integrated both of them. And it was a really unique approach to a game that was very, very faithful to D&D and its mechanics. Certainly aged worse than some other games. And certainly I'm a little bit nostalgia tinted here, but this one does not deserve nearly as much hate as you guys gave.
Combined with Pee Pee Poo Poo.
What?
You were saying that it's combined with, but then you wouldn't shut up. It's not good. Okay. It's not good.
I mean, it's not great.
Listen, I promise any game other than a sim game that wants me to do taxes, I'm not going to enjoy.
Oh my gosh, you got to get TurboTax to play this game.
Be honest for a second. Think about a really well done remake of this game where you're the leader of a country. You're managing the country and you're going off on adventures, and both are important, and you can choose to do one or the other to do whatever is fun.
Civilization VI.
Mind-blowingly fun.
So a different game?
Yeah, no. Yeah. You just described something else. So you're wrong.
Yes, a different game would be fun. You're right. I will say that at the end of this, Kenny, you didn't give it your vote. So even if you personally liked it, you said that it's not one that we generally should play. There's better ones. I think it was because of how much learning curve and reading there is.
It's old and it takes a lot to be able to play it. It's not a super accessible game. Like, technologically, you're not going to be able to just go find it somewhere, which is a huge reality check for how comfortable we should be, you know, recommending it to people. And yes, it's going to appeal to some people, but not to everybody.
Episode 234, we're going back to the Metroid series with Metroid Prime, which was a Patreon submitted game.
Producer pool,
which is sick, first of all. And I guess people weren't over Metroid. They just had so much fun with Fusion. I like that we got to play those two so close together, though. It made it interesting episode because we got to talk about the context of like how crazy that year was for Metroid fans.
Yeah, like, it was fun that they decided to submit this game.
Well, it had been 8 years timing-wise. Since a Metroid release, right?
8 years. They skipped a console or a generation.
N64, like, yeah.
And then release these two. Now, having played both of them and having played both of them so quickly, looking back, which one do you prefer, Metroid Prime or Metroid Fusion?
It's hard for me because 2D Metroid will always win because I prefer it.
Oh.
But in that question, it's Prime because Prime was so, it's so good, revolutionary, and like, delivered, like making the transition from what it normally was 2D and then going to this new world could have been terrible, and we talked about that,
right?
And it just wasn't in any way. It was so good.
Didn't Kenny like this more than any of us? Like, Kenny geeked out about this game.
I absolutely love this game. The fact that they were able to take this game, take it to 3D as well as they did, and it still feel smooth and natural and like the same game, but do so flawlessly, was a huge achievement. They did amazing. Boss design was on point. Everything about this game was great.
Except
Nolan hated
detective mode. Kenny thought it's fine. I thought it slowed down.
That's the only controversial thing about this game in my mind, but it works for me.
Kenny, you say this game then over Fusion.
Absolutely.
And I say Fusion every single day of the week. All three of us gave our vote for this game this week for New Game Plus status, but I don't think it is even close. And I agree with you, remarkable for taking it. They had everything to lose And they did it so well, yeah, bringing it to a 3D environment after 8 years. However, I just 2D Metroid is going to win. And then Fusion, because of the color and the story and just all of that, it's that for me every single day. Yeah. And I don't think we've perfected shooting at this point in 2002, first person shooting. Mm. And although this is quote unquote not a shooter, I don't buy that because it is a shooter. And I felt some of that pain this week.
The next game is a 2004 release for the PC that I don't want to talk about because I still have PTSD.
Okay, Nolan, it's Far Cry. Why?
His YouTube, his first play, Nolan, he literally scared himself into having hiccups. It was the weirdest
what
thing.
What did he say about guns?
He said, I have no more gun like that. When he ran out of ammo.
Gun is it's an amount of thing that you have.
Don't defend it.
That's a totally normal thing to say in regards to a first-person shooter.
For some reason, this game scared him so bad.
I don't know
why I immersed so hard, but I did. And
that's good, though.
It's good for us.
No, it made for a really funny moment. But yeah, this game got to me.
I think we kind of overlooked that. We made fun of you on the episode, of course. But the immersion, the fact that they were able to capture you is actually a good quality because of the concept of the game and what you're doing on that island. You're surrounded by mercenary, like bad people shooting at you.
Can we also shout out 2004? The graphics on this were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, revolutionary.
It does not feel like a 2004 title because it was so ahead of its time.
The water physics, everything. I just think what ended up being a problem for me, because I was the only one that didn't give it my vote. And retrospectively, I probably should just because it is there. But it was difficult this week. I think I probably played further than you guys, and the story wasn't there. I didn't care for the characters. You just got kind of generic guy as the character, and the story kind of sucked. But the mechanic, I mean, the handling and all of that was good. It was just very difficult. It was very difficult. I died all the freaking time.
It was a really tough game.
It was a good start to Sandbox, but it was kind of weak in some of those in some of those ways. But it was keyboard and mouse, and you're moving around with WASD. You're shooting with the mouse. It was one of the games that we played, and we were like, "This does not feel retro."
Yeah, at all.
Episode 236 was James Pond Underwater Agent, which was a Sega Genesis game, which is stupid. It was not a Sega Genesis game. This was we talked about it. It's a Flash browser
game.
It's a
bad PC game,
And it's not it, but this is on the Genesis. If I was Mr. Genesis, I would be angry.
Mr. Genesis, Mr. Sega.
And you remember, wasn't there like Kenny? Didn't you tell us there was like one 18-year-old boy that developed this game?
Was that this game? Yeah, no, it was.
I've pretty much forgotten everything about this game.
Good.
One guy that was just like, weird idea, make a game. The mechanics make no sense. You just kind of teleport everywhere and you have no clear goal in mind. It's just a bunch of bad James Bond puns. Yeah,
it's the one we laughed about being the worst thing about every video game, like combined in one, because it's all underwater. When you say James Bond Underwater Agent, it's the worst things about platforming's underwater levels, but then the worst take on that. It was a hot mess.
Wait a minute. Also, I said it was riddled with the bad puns. It wasn't, right? It was just the title.
The titles were James Bond. Everything else was not James Bond. There were still
lots of puns and references still, but not specifically James Bond.
I feel like he
Bond
was just
related.
Like, teehee, James Pond, bro.
Yeah, it was just like pop culture pun references, but random ones with no cohesion.
And all the enemies are just weird. At one point, I think you're fighting underwater dogs, or like it's just none of it made sense. And is this the worst game on the Sega Genesis?
I think so.
It's probably top 10 worst.
I don't know of another one.
Worst.
Show it to me.
There's some really bad games out there.
This is a really bad game. Had no right being on the Sega Genesis. It was also one of our shorter episodes, coming in at 46 minutes and 17 seconds, just because we didn't want to talk about it.
Episode 237 was Gex, Enter the Gecko. Patreon poll?
Yeah, this is the continuation of our summer pool party. So pretty much every other game at this point
This was the summer pool party, which is always an exciting time for us because we get to play games that you want us to play. And this was one of them that at first when I heard, I was like, okay, weird. Because one, it's another like James Bond kind of jokey character, and back to back is just not okay. But when I saw the box art, it clicked for me. I was like, oh, love this game. Played it before. Played it a lot, actually.
Yeah, so 3D platformer where you're running around trying to collect things and solve things and not actually good.
Wait, not actually good. It was good, you idiot.
It was all right. You guys like this game more than I did.
It's task-based progression. The voice acting is what makes this game. Gex is such a personality, such a good voice actor. If you're playing on the PlayStation you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of really good... No, Kenny, you're wrong.
And
stop trying to talk.
Despite that, you're going to get those same audio clips on repeat. Way too current pop culture referencey.
But you need to respect
when
that,
all of the references are things that are happening right then.
Yes, of course.
Not future proof.
Because they can't see the future.
Right.
When you make
games in retro, we're not in 1998 anymore.
I was.
And the jokes aren't going to land like they would have. In 1998, I probably would have liked this game, but I don't in 2020.
But okay, get past that. The gameplay is good, too. It's a good platformer.
And the handling is good. You have relatively good control of your camera, which, again, and this is 3D, and so, and N64 and PlayStation, so you don't always do that. But with your bumpers and with the auto camera, you've got some issues, but it's pretty good for what it is, for what you have. There's major differences between the console version releases of the game with a few stages here, a few less stages here. The voice acting, which we've already talked about, like how many lines of dialogue you have. Kenny did not give it his vote. Nolan and I clearly did because it is a great game. Yeah. And I bet it. So there are multiple Gex games. This is the first one we played on the podcast, and it was the second one, I believe. Yeah.
Episode 238 is Ham Taro. Ham Hams Unite.
Okay.
This is a Game Boy Color game out of Japan. Four children.
And you.
Both of those things show.
It's from an anime, right?
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
About hamsters.
Yeah. I've never seen the anime. So.
Oh, you didn't go back and watch it after we played it?
Because Dustin did.
I mean, yeah, I totally did. It was great. Made the experience better.
This is the game that I argue is a puzzle game because you've got ham chat and your ham dictionary and you go around just having to know when to use the ham words.
Honestly,
your ham
it's basically a point and click adventure.
The episode, I had more fun recording the episode than I did playing it because Kenny and I just trolled Dustin with ham chat the
whole
episode.
We didn't do enough of it.
I know, we should have been way more
fluent in ham chat.
It's because it's awkward. The ham words are very like...
Childish.
They're either forced or they're
creepy,
cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah. Creepy, cheesy. But also, I tried to use my own ham chat as the transition, as the segue. That's what they're called. And Kenny didn't know what ham meant. Like, I'm going ham.
Oh, yeah.
He never knew that actually meant words.
You thought it was a lunch meat. No, I know what it means to, like, go ham, but I thought it was just like a figure of speech, like a phrase, not a abbreviation for something.
Well, you learned a lot that episode. Let's just say that.
Learned a lot that episode. None of us gave it our vote for New Game Plus status. While it is cute, yes.
Very cute.
Nolan? No. It's cute.
Oh, creepy. Come on.
It's cute.
A little. You can be cute and creepy at the same time, but it was cuter than it was creepy.
And it's only creepy because we're grown men.
No, that's not it.
If you're an eight-year-old, Nolan would have loved Ham Taro.
Eight-year-old Nolan was punching Ganondorf in the face, bro. So, no.
Okay. Nice. Well, it did not get our vote for New Game Plus status, unfortunately. Episode 239 was Cool Spot, another Patreon pool. It's interesting what games we get for Patreon pool, especially this summer pool party. It didn't just happen to be some of the best of the best. It happened to be some really unique
ones. Honestly,
fitting
for 2020. This summer pool party fit the year.
Fitting for 2020. It was a Super Nintendo title, came out on some other consoles as well. What is that? Sega Genesis, probably. I played Super Nintendo this week. I think, Kenny, you played Genesis, actually, which was unique. But while there were some differences, one thing remained the same. Well, kind of. This is about the...
It's an ad.
Lead character of 7-Up.
Which there's not it's one. The,
it's there the lead character.
His
the
name,
mascot.
The his name is Cool Spot. Mr. Spot to you, since you guys don't give him any respect.
And he's a red dot.
Yeah, this game was the one that had the coolest bonus levels, where you got to be inside the fizzy pop like bottle,
not cool,
and bounce around off of the little carbonation
bubbles.
That was
the bonus stage.
I know. I'm saying it was the coolest part of the game to me, but there were other neat parts of the game as well. But those were amazing.
Name them, please.
So much fun.
When the bonus levels are the best part of the game, you don't have a good game, Kenny.
That's not true. When the bonus is the cherry on top.
Were you drinking a can of Squirt when you were 7
Up with
this
cherry?
Game?
Squirt. Oh,
I was
Kenny's
not.
In a Squirt. Knock off 7 what up. Is the Who's the mascot of Squirt, and what would that
Kenny
game be
is.
Like?
It would be a grapefruit.
It'd be shirtless Kenny just punk.
A topless bearded man.
Look, ads are bad. I don't like them. And I'm not going to choose to experience an ad by buying a game that is going to sell me something.
If and the game is still good, I think you're robbing yourself.
It's not.
Because I'm different. I don't think that just because it's an ad makes it a bad game. I can look past that and not that. And enjoy the game, but this is not that much. It's not a unique. It's not creative. The platforming's bad. The handling is weak.
Weird.
And then the mascot is a dot.
It's
so
a
it's
dot.
Just not. It's,
yeah, but
it's
he's
not.
Cool.
But then, like, you're
spot,
saving other,
not a dot.
Other dots that look the exact same as you. So
you're
they're
saving
spots, too.
Okay, so which one is the mascot? Real Slim Shady,
cool
please stand up and take a shot.
Clearly the mascot. Okay,
even
you
though,
just don't
even
get
though,
it.
Even though Kenny's defending it now, none of us
right,
gave it our vote
so
for New Game
what
Plus
are you
status.
Talking about?
I thought
Kenny
I did.
Kenny thinks he did. Did
oh,
you?
Yeah, he did. He did.
There's
yeah,
no
he
way.
Did. I'm looking at
it's
it.
It's a bad game.
I know it's a bad game. Episode 240 was not a Patreon pool game, but it was a good game. And honestly, this was probably one of the most controversial episodes, in my opinion, that we've had in a long time. Batman Return of the Joker.
But the controversy wasn't amongst us three.
No, I'm talking about with our community, which is rare.
It was all of us agreeing on the game and everybody else disagreeing with
which
us.
Never happens. Rarely, I was honestly scared happens. For my life. When we got to listen, you got to listen to this episode. When we got to the viewer commentary, it was like brutal in the opposite direction of where we landed. And so I didn't go in Discord that week.
Yeah, in Discord that week, I was there and it was not good because, like, it's everybody talking about Mega Man 3 and other games that they're like, oh, you give this piece of with choice language New Game Plus, but you won't give Mega
Dude,
Man 3
it
or you won't
incredible
give
incredible for the NES. Why?
Best looking game on the NES, hands down. There's not a better looking game. It is among the greatest.
Wow.
The
yes.
only beef people really, not only beef, there was a lot of beef they had that wasn't justified, but the only meat that they had with this game. That might have been justified was the fact that you expect a Batman game to maybe be like a brawler or a beat 'em up, and it basically is a shooter.
It's a shooter.
It's a shooter. Sure.
It absolutely is. It's a like platforming run and gun shooter.
And I get that. So I think you can think that, but then you've got to say, okay, but is it a good game?
Yes.
I think that's what you've got to do. And so I get that, especially for the hardcore Batman fanatics. And I know there were a few of those that week that were mad at me, but I get it. And so that can be a point of contention, but then you can't just write it off and say bad game.
You can't.
You've got to say, is it still a good game? And I loved it. Beat it multiple times. You this week? We all beat it. I think there's another one where we all
beat
it.
But we all said yes. Unlike that
we
last
all
one.
Definitely
had
said
a
yes.
Ton of fun with it. All the different weapons you could get. And it was great.
We said it's up there with like Battletoads, Bucky O'Hare, other great NES titles that we've talked about, not only in look, but in
and
how
look,
it
I
was
get it. It's weird, it but I have to be honest, like that's actually what I felt that week.
Yeah.
Episode 241 brings us to Final Fantasy II, Dawn of Souls, which is the Game Boy Advance re-release of like Final Fantasy I and II together. And but we specifically played Dawn of Souls. Oh, we specifically played Final Fantasy II.
Dawn of Souls. The majority of the time you talk, Kenny, it's as if you're asking questions. You
well,
know, like
sure.
I just.
Sure.
Well, sure.
I mean, is it?
I don't know, but it drives me crazy.
Does it?
This is a weird Final Fantasy that does feel Final Fantasy, but it was a complete excursion from the OG Final Fantasy, which we played earlier in the life of our podcast. Yeah. Now, this was a remake, or whatever we wanted to call it. I know we had conversation about, is it a remake? Is it a what? You know, this time. But graphics enhanced, soundtrack enhanced.
Balancing, difficulty balancing.
Balancing some quality of life issues resolved and fixed and made better. But what they tried to do here is giving character names and stories and really building out that everything that you were doing was connected to this meta-narrative that was happening in the story so that it didn't feel like disjointed or disconnected events going on in one world. It felt like you're going through a novel, really, from the first page to the last.
This is the way to experience Final Fantasy II. I think if you want to play FF2, GBA. Play Dawn of Souls because it's, I mean, the quality of life and everything, but like... It's so unique in the entire series, not just a jump from the first one, like from the rest of the series too. Like they did some experimental stuff with how you're leveling and progressing with like you level up the things that you're doing and you're using. So it worked for me. It worked for all of us, I think. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, lots of good things to be said about this game. My favorite aspect of this game is sort of the number of contributions it makes to the larger Final Fantasy universe. You know, some of the experimental things didn't take so much, and some of the storytelling evolution from the first one I didn't care about as much as gameplay kind of stuff. But Chocobos, Cid, like you get some really big time Final Fantasy stuff that sticks around forever, literally in some cases, and that's really fun. So if you like the series, I think going back and seeing Final Fantasy II is a must.
Those are the last 20 games that we played on our podcast. We're coming up on our 5-year anniversary in September. That will be a good time to celebrate. That is definitely a milestone, major milestone. So if you're not a part of our community yet, whether it's through Discord or Patreon, do that. We'll give you more information about that. Before we leave these 20 episodes, these 20 games behind, I have two questions to ask you guys that I ask at the end of each retro recap, and they are the following. What one game would you encourage people to go back and play from these 20 games? And what one episode would you encourage people to go back and listen to? Let's start with game. What's the one game that you would encourage everybody to go back and play?
There's a number of games here that are worth it, but
right,
I'm
what's
going,
one of them?
Sure. And yeah, I mean, like I could pick obvious candidates like Metroid Prime, something like that.
Or Bejeweled.
Not Bejeweled. But I'm going to say Heroes of Might and Magic 3. Nolan knocked the capital C classic nature of this game, but I think it's exactly why people need to go back and play it. And it's a lot of fun and has tons of charm. So go back and play Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Nolan, for you?
For me, it's Crystallis. I think it's – I may be wrong, but I think it's a sleeper on the NES. Like it got overshadowed by other – major like kind of action RPG games at the time, but honestly, like really quality and such a great experience.
I'm pretty sure Crystallis wasn't received well when it came out and has since become a cult classic for very good reason. The game that I would say to go play is probably one of the ones I enjoyed most going through here, and it was Metroid Fusion. Yeah. Although, honestly, Batman Return of the Joker is a close one just because I want you to see how pretty it is for the NES. And the music is good. I listened to the music most that week, but also for Metroid Fusion. Metroid Fusion is just a work of art. It's good, great storytelling, I just really love those Metroidvania type games. Metroidvania type games. It's just Metroid. But it's great. All right. What episode would you encourage people to go back and listen to? Nolan, we'll start with you this time.
I think Bejeweled, because it was...
I mean, yeah, that's just hilarious.
It was hilarious, but also infuriating, because... it was just Kitty being Kenny and refusing to admit something that's very clear. And it was just, it's definitely one to go watch if you like arguments on NGP. So,
Kenny.
I'm going to say, for a similar reason, Batman Return of the Joker, mm-hmm. not because we argued, but because of the dissension of us versus viewers. It was kind of fun to hear us like fanboy about it and then viewer opinions just be like, rip it to shreds and us be like,
wait, what?
What happened? So rarely do we find ourselves in such contention with the broader retro gaming community, but I'm gonna just say they're all wrong. This was a great game.
Yeah, and mine is gonna be Hamtaro, obvious reasons. That is a fun episode to listen to because three guys played one anime game about a hamster. It was definitely unique. Listen to that one.
If you want to join in that community that hates us so much when we're wrong about something, then you should join our Discord server. It's a awesome community that we've built here, and people like being part of it. So all you have to do is go to ngppodcast.com and click a button that says join us in Discord, create a free account, and boom, you're chatting with our community and with us.
If you want to take it a step further and go from being a part of our community to supporting what we do in bringing you retro gaming content every single week for almost 5 years in a row.
Yeah, how dare y'all?
Yeah, that's big time. You can join an awesome group of people on Patreon, on patreon.com, who are patrons of the New Game Plus podcast. And we would love to have you guys join that group.
Patreon.com/NGP podcast if you want to go directly to us.
Yeah, don't get distracted by all the other great content out there and support any other content creators, just us.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us in the coming weeks as we play 20 more games, plus 20 plus more games.
New.
Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been a retro recap of New Game Plus.